Our text today is Matthew 28, 1 through 10, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Hear the word of God for this morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I have given the message to you." With fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And of course, our dancer, for your contributions this morning to our worship. It's just been beautiful this morning as we've come together in the house of the Lord. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our understanding. Amen. Greg liked rocks. Does anybody out here like rocks? He liked rocks. When we would go on a mission trip, he would always bring a rock home. And I'm not talking about a rock. I'm talking about a rock. You've actually seen one of those rocks. When we did our series on wandering in the wilderness, if you recall, there was a flat kind of reddish-brown rock on the table. That rock came back with us from Oklahoma. Not on the plane, it was in a truck. And then when we went to Montana, we brought a rock back that was more pillar style. And we actually used it in our wedding. We had our wedding rings sitting on it. And then we had our marriage, of course, set in stone. We had a Scottish-themed wedding. So he really liked rocks. When I was in late elementary school, one of my science projects was a rock collection. There was a gentleman down the street who did rock tumbling, and so Dad took me down to visit with him, and he gave me a number of rocks that I could use to put a display together of different types of rocks. So that was my science project. Rocks are kind of neat, and rocks figure prominently in Scripture. We have the building of altars, many of those altars built to remember something, and so when they would come to those altars, they would remember the stories that had led them there. Jacob used a rock as a pillow, rested his head on a stone. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, of course, was written on stone tablets. Moses struck a rock, and out of that rock gushed water. Samuel erected the Ebenezer, the stone of help at Mizpah, in recognition of God's help in helping the Israelites have victory over the Philistines. David slays Goliath with a stone and his slingshot. Jesus gave Simon the name Cephas in Hebrew or Petra in Greek, which means rock. And he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And then Jesus referred to himself as the chief cornerstone of the temple. So rocks have a pretty prominent place in the biblical narrative. On this day, we have yet another stone that is important. in the saga of Jesus' life. You may recall that Joseph of Arimathea had asked for Jesus' body after his death. The guards removed his body from the cross, released it to Joseph, who then took his body and lay it in a tomb that he had purchased for himself. And because it was the Sabbath, nearing the Sabbath, they were not able to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial. Then the stone was rolled into place over the entrance of the tomb. Now, this wasn't a stone facade on a piece of wood that was easily moved. This was a stone, a 2,000 to 3,000 pound stone. The entrances were not necessarily large, but the stone would have been large enough, so large that it could not easily have been moved. It would have required more than just Joseph to put it in place, even though it was put on a slant so that it would roll downhill in order to close the entrance. So to move it after it was in place was virtually impossible. It would have taken many people to have moved the stone up the incline, and they probably would have required a fulcrum and a lever to accomplish that task. But having the stone in front of the entrance wasn't enough. The Jews went to Pilate, and they wanted to ensure that no one even attempted to remove that stone, so they asked to have the entrance to the tomb sealed, which means it was somewhat like our crime tape of today. They would take a cord and they would put it across the stone, and they would seal that cord on either side of the grave. And then if anyone crossed that and tried to remove that, they would know that someone had tried to come and to take Jesus' body. And so Pilate agreed. He had the stone sealed, but he added and gave some extra measure by telling them, take some guards and place them by the tomb as well. They wanted to avoid any possibility that someone would come and try to remove Jesus' body from the tomb. Why? They had heard the rumors of what Jesus had said, that he would rise again after 3 days. They didn't want anybody to remove the body. They didn't believe it would happen, but they didn't want the body removed because then people might believe what Jesus had said, and that would cause more chaos for them. Today's passage picks up, of course, after the tomb has been sealed and the guards are in place. It is the early light of Sunday, the morning after the Sabbath. Their Sabbath would have ended Saturday night. Matthew tells us that two of the women who had been followers of Jesus were making their way to the tomb. He identifies these two women as one of them being Mary Magdalene, who had followed him, and one the other Mary, he simply says. And so we wonder, who was that other Mary? Mary was a very common name. It most likely was not the mother of Jesus, Mary, that we may think of. It could have been Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, although Matthew never mentions them in his gospel. So most likely it was Mary, the wife of Clopas, and the mother of James the Less, one of the disciples. He doesn't tell us much about their walk, doesn't tell us what was going on, but you can imagine that as they're walking to the tomb, they may have been talking among themselves, talking about the stress, the pain that they were feeling, knowing that Jesus had been crucified, having been present at the cross and watching him suffer. They may be talking about what they need to do when they get there, although Matthew doesn't really indicate that they're going to prepare the body for burial. They may be questioning themselves, will we be able to see Jesus? How will we get the stone out of the way to see Jesus? But he doesn't tell us any of that. But there are some things that he does tell us. Mark and Luke tell us that women were going to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body. But like I said, Matthew doesn't really indicate that's why they were going. John doesn't tell us why Mary Magdalene went, because John only had Mary Magdalene going. But Matthew tells us that the women were going to see the tomb. Simply to see the tomb. Nothing about going to prepare Jesus' body again. Just to see the tomb. Much in the same way that we visit a cemetery to see the graves of our departed loved ones. And so they may have been going simply to be there to feel that sense of presence with Jesus and Jesus' presence with them. They may have been going also to kind of figure out, is this real? Did this really happen? Or is this maybe a dream? They may have been hoping that when they got there, there was no tomb at all. And it was just a nightmare that they had had that they now have awakened from. For whatever reasons, they were just going to see the tomb. They knew when they arrived that they would not be able to remove the stone. They knew that also the chances of the guards helping them do that was impossible. So how were they going to remove that stone? How would they get it out of the way? Interestingly, only Matthew tells us how the stone was moved. None of the other three gospel writers indicate how the stone was moved because by the time they arrived, the women had arrived, it had already been moved. But Matthew tells us exactly why or how the stone was removed and why. He says, there was a great earthquake. For an angel from the Lord came down from heaven, coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. So Matthew tells us that this stone has been moved supernaturally by this angel who had supernatural strength, who has come down and has moved that stone away, and we'll examine why in a moment. And he examines the look of this angel. Lightning is his face and clothes as white as snow. And because of that, the guards who were present, who witnessed the stone being rolled away, shook and then dropped like dead men. In other words, they just flat out passed out. They fainted. I think I would too, don't you? If I had witnessed that. If you think about it, angels have been absent from Jesus' life since the story of his temptation in the wilderness. All throughout his ministry, we don't hear anything about an angel in his early life past, or his life after his birth and up to that temptation, and then also after the temptation. But we know that angels were important in his life. It was the angel Gabriel who came and announced to Mary that she would be carrying the Son of God and give birth to him, and that she would call him Jesus. It was an angel who came to Joseph and in a dream told him to take Mary as his wife as he had planned, even though Mary was carrying the child of someone else. And even before that, an angel had visited Zechariah and announced that he and Elizabeth would be parents in their old age, and that their son would be the forerunner of Jesus. And it was a band of angels who announced the Jesus birth to the shepherd. So here again today, we have an angel once again who is figuring prominently in the story. And so when there's a huge announcement to be made, there that angel is. And that was what the angels were for. They were messengers. The Greek word angelos means messenger. And boy, did the angel have a message to share. As I mentioned, not only did Matthew tell us how the stone was removed, but he told us why. Now, we might think, just in our rational minds, well, the stone was moved so Jesus could get out. No. No. I read an article a few years ago about what people want to hear from us when we share our faith story. And it's not how we came to faith, but why. The why is what matters. And the why is what matters in this story. The angel told the women not to fear because Jesus was not here. That was why. That was why the stone had been moved away. Not so Jesus could get out. Because, folks, Jesus was already out of that tomb. But so the women could see that he was not there. They were coming to an already empty tomb. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. Because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said, come and see the place where they had laid him." He wanted them to know that behind this sealed stone, the tomb was already empty. So that is why he removed the stone from the entrance. It wasn't moved because Jesus needed it moved. It was moved because those women needed it moved in order to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. Not only was Jesus not there, but the angel instructed the women to go and to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, because there they would find him. "Go to Galilee, and there you will find Jesus." And in fact, on their way to Galilee, they encountered the risen Jesus, who also gave them those instructions to tell the disciples. Not only had Jesus risen from the dead, but Jesus' mission and ministry had also risen from the dead. You see, they thought once they put Jesus in the tomb that all of that would cease. There'd be no more talk about anything that Jesus did. They thought all of that would be behind them, the Jews and the Romans. And so from then on out, it would be smooth sailing. But no, when Jesus rose from the dead, then so did his ministry and his mission. And so Jesus was already out in the world into which he would be sending his disciples to make more disciples as they continued the work he had begun when he called them to follow him 3 years earlier. Now, I think sometimes we Christians come to worship like we go to a cemetery. We go to feel present with Jesus. To feel Jesus' presence. But I think when we get here, Jesus is saying, "I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. I'm not here. I'm downtown on the streets. I'm in the food court in the mall. I'm in the hospitals. I'm in the mental institutions. I'm in the prisons. I'm in the schools up the street. I'm on the soccer fields, the football fields." Where's she at? Pickleball court? Baseball fields, basketball courts. I'm in the band room, the choir room, the playground, the theater. I'm at your favorite restaurant. I'm at the local bars, the local shelters, the local jails. And yes, this weekend, I'm even at the racetrack. Wherever there are people who don't know me, I'm there. That's where you'll find me. So don't come to an empty tomb looking for me. I won't be there. And why? So we can go into the world where he is sending us to carry on his work, to make him known, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The angel's message, Jesus' message, "I'm not here. I'm out there. Come and meet me and join me and continue in the work I am doing." The stone has been rolled away. He has gone before us. He invites us to join him. Let us go and meet the risen Christ who sends us into the world as his risen body in that world. Let us pray. Lord, there are so many different nuances to the story of Jesus' resurrection. You know that each of the gospel writers put a different spin on it. But Matthew wanted us to be sure that Jesus wasn't in the tomb when the angel rolled the stone away, because he was already back out in the world. that world that he loved, the world that he came to save, and that his mission and ministry had risen with him. That mission and ministry to which he had called the disciples 3 years earlier, and he is still calling us to today. Lord, forgive us that we do sometimes come to worship so we can feel close to Jesus. And that's not bad. But the real reason we come is so that we can know that like the angel said, Jesus is already out there waiting on us to join him. So that we can continue the work that still needs to be done. So Lord, today, let us not gaze in an empty tomb, but let us go and find Jesus. Maybe in the server that greets us at the table when we go to lunch. Maybe the person that's next to us on the highway, our next door neighbor, a family member. Anyone that we meet today is an opportunity to share Jesus. Lord, Jesus is in the world, beckoning us to him. Let us go and join in that work and be faithful in making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen.